Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go!
11 o'clock here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. This hour brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. Big hour here in the 11 o'clock hour. The Wendy Zone at 11:40 as always.
Bang.
Looking forward to that. Wendy Adams in studio. Chip Carey going to join us at 11:20 to get us ready for the second half of the Braves season. And we'll get to an NFL no huddle in just a minute. I do want to spend... It just, 60 seconds, 90 seconds responded to some of what Paul Crane just told us, including that it sounded to me like he was leaning based on what he's hearing. I know he doesn't like to speculate because
yes.
Paul's a journalist.
Yes, he is.
But we like to speculate. It's one of our favorite things to do. Shane Green was the name that he sounded to me most confident about,
it's the closer for the Tigers.
It's
a name that, you and a lot of other people have put out there because – It was funny when we did the I think we did one of our fun things that we do at 12:40, and I had to convince you of why Luke Jackson should be the closing. You had and my thing was right
that
now,
was when we did the debates.
The debates, yeah, and right now it's being like it's forced on us right now. If they don't get somebody, if Shane Green is not the closer, you know that we're going forward with Luke Jackson as a closer, right?
I do know that.
Okay.
And it doesn't make me feel great. I do know that. And again, I don't think we should call him the closer. He's just the last guy to pitch sometimes.
I called him by his name.
And you called him. You called him by his name and his title that he would prefer to have.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess it's the All-Star break.
Yeah. I'm off.
You got tricked. It's the All-Star break.
I'm off my game, too.
Shane Green is an actual closer. He's got 22 saves this year and only 2 blown saves. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like. That's the number that we're looking at. Will Smith has 23 saves and 0 blown saves, except he did give up a home run in the All-Star game. But that's okay.
That's okay.
The year that Eric Gagne set the Major League record for saves, he gave up a blown save and a home run in the All-Star game. It's the All-Star game. Nobody's worried about that.
I'm not worried about it either.
But
we know what's going to happen. I mean, come on, Folty, because I need you to get right. Do I need to go talk to him?
I think that would be a great idea.
I need to ride on up there.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Let's go holler at him, man.
You are, if we had your Madden rankings, but they didn't have this part of the Madden ranking. Mental toughness.
Come
you
on.
Are a self-described mentally tough individual.
Yes.
I can agree to that.
Come on.
Randy doesn't care about any of that outside nonsense.
No, Forty, just come on over, man. We have some Amstels.
He's already in Gwinnett.
We have some Amstel lights, a couple cigars, and just chill.
I can provide the beer.
Yeah. Come on,
tell me how many Amstel lights you want. I got plenty at the house.
Yeah, 120.
The beer drinker's light beer.
Don't forget that part of it.
By the way.
Yeah.
What would you even say to Folty? Like, what would the pep talk be like?
See, that's something that I couldn't do. It's something that when I'm looking at him in his eyes, and I got to, feel that soul, like, Folty. Hey, man. And then it'll go from there.
Okay.
All right.
I would be fully supportive of that happening. Bring him over, get the grill fired up, have a couple beers, talk to him man-to-man, and maybe talk a little toughness into him.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to a couple football stories here. I do want to mention the SEC Media Days roster has been released. The players and coaches, we know all the coaches, but when they'll be available. And then the players that each team is going to be bringing. Now, we're not going to be there, but we are going to cover it, though, exclusive. Chris Goforth's going to be out there, so we'll have Chris Goforth on a bunch and talk SEC Media Days and all of that. So we've got you covered here at 92.9 The Game for SEC Media Days exclusively. You saw the 3 names that Georgia is bringing, I assume. Jake Fromm, no surprise there. J.R. Reed, no surprise there. Probably my favorite player on the defense. Love J.R. Reed. And Andrew Thomas.
Yeah.
Offensive lineman Andrew Thomas is going to be there as well. So those are the 3 guys that are going to be representing Georgia at SEC Media Days.
Cool. I mean, they're 3 of your best players, 3 leaders on your football team. And, it should be a lot of fun. Sometimes you miss SEC Media, some of the old school coaches like Steve Spurrier and guys like that. You miss that humor that they would have because it can get kind of dry a little boring down there. But, yeah, I'm excited to hear what they got to say.
Did you ever – have you ever been to SEC Media Days?
When I was in school, they all were six seniors.
Oh.
Yeah, they all were six seniors.
And you left before you were a senior?
Yeah, and I was a junior and I left. So
if you would have gone back for your senior year, would they have taken you, do you think?
Yeah. Would Mark Rick have taken me? Nah.
You said yeah really fast and then thought about it.
And not at that point in me and his relationship-wise, nah, he wouldn't have taken me.
But now you guys, you guys are great.
My guy.
Al Bram is bringing Jerry Jeudy, obviously Dylan Moses and Tua Tagovailoa. And, you know, you can look at the rest of the rosters. Arkansas is bringing Devwa Whaley.
Mama, why?
What?
Why?
Devwa?
Why?
What's wrong with Devwa? It could be a family name.
Why? Why, Mama, why?
I don't know. Want to know the other two names of the guys that Arkansas is bringing?
Let me hear it.
Dijon Harris, D-E-apostrophe-J-O-N.
Why? Why, Mama?
Again, could be a family name.
Dijon?
He's got
it's
a
mustard. Damn mustard.
Maybe his family invented it. I don't know.
All right. What's the other one?
And then they're bringing senior defensive lineman McTelvin Agum.
Why, Mama? Why?
McTelvin.
Why, Mama?
It's a good name.
Why, Mama?
You know, we're thinking... You know, we're starting to work on, well, how many days do we have now? We got 20 days till August. And that's when, you know, that's when it's really starting, we're starting to work on a family. I think McTelvin Bunker sounds like a good name.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mattel, I don't know how to say the damn name. But, yeah, you got 20 days. The countdown is on.
McT.
If everybody knows, Andy's going to be he has a vow to himself. All right, because I don't know if your wife agreed to it or not. But
she's the one that said August.
Andy had it and has... Did she say the first?
Why?
She could have said in August. But Andy is determined to be a father by next Father's Day.
Yeah.
And the countdown is to August 1st.
August 1st is the when we start running with the bulls or whatever. No, I don't know. The due date has nothing to do with it. I don't know why she said August. our first anniversary is on August 18th. So maybe that's why. I have no idea why she said August. All I know is she said it one time. She only vaguely remembers saying it. But that doesn't matter. She said it. Wouldn't it be nice to have a stenographer at times, like at the house?
What the hell is
you know, like a courtroom record keeper?
Okay. Oh, the type
just to be like, hang on, bring the stenographer out. This is actually what you said. Because we had an instance yesterday where it was like, wait a minute, you literally just said this is what you want me to be doing. She's like, well, no, I said, like, no, you literally told me to do what I'm doing right now. And you don't remember it. It happened 5 minutes ago. If only we had a stenographer. It'd probably be bad for me at times as well. That has nothing to do with the NFL. Let's get into an NFL to huddle and a handful of different topics. The first one, and you mentioned this earlier, Randy, Chargers might have a problem.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon says he's not showing up unless he either gets a new deal. And if you don't get me a new deal, Melvin Gordon says, trade me.
I ain't coming. But right now, they're saying he's made about $10 million over his rookie deal. He's playing on a $5.6 million fifth-year option. I like Melvin Gordon a lot. He does so many good things. I didn't know he can catch the ball the way he catches the ball for San Diego when he was at Wisconsin. But, I mean, he's a serious dual-threat runner. Can also very good in the pass protection. He just nicked up a lot for me. But they think they got a Super Bowl roster also. They need him. They need that guy. But, I mean, I'm sure they were negotiating and everything, but, I mean, I don't know what he's asking for. Is he asking for more than Todd Gurley? I don't think he's as good as Todd Gurley.
I would hope – well, you never know. I mean, that seems to be the way things go now, like when guys are up, because the quarterbacks have ruined things for everyone.
Yes, they have.
Because no matter how good you are or average you are or great you are, whatever, if you're a quarterback and you're seen to be a franchise quarterback, when it comes your time, you set the market.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think this makes – potentially be Kirk Cousins' lasting legacy. The fact that Kirk Cousins got $84 million guaranteed. Other guys who are better than Kirk Cousins, including Melvin Gordon, who is better at football than Kirk Cousins is, says, well, all right, if he can go set the market, then I should be able to go set the market.
There's a difference, though.
Quarterbacks are different.
Yes.
Yeah.
There it is, right?
You're a running back.
Quarterbacks are different. You're a running back. And they've been devalued so much, but it's like you need one, though. You know, I mean, their shelf life is short. But at the same time, dude, if you got a good running back, you pay him.
Yeah.
You pay him.
I mean, you think they pay him?
No.
So he holds out?
Yeah.
Do you think he gets traded?
No.
So what's going to happen? He's just going to hang out?
Oh, he's going to play.
Oh, he's just going to eventually play.
Come on.
So he's just going to lose.
I hope they give him a new contract. But Mel, I don't see Melvin as Le'Veon. I'm saying not then. I don't see that.
Right. Yeah.
I don't see that.
I don't think Le'Veon started a trend there. Le'Veon did something that Le'Veon did, and I don't think anybody else will do that. It's a great illustration of the difference between NBA and NFL right
Hell
now, though.
Yeah.
Like, just the mere notion of maybe wanting a trade because you're unhappy, you get traded in the NBA. He'll probably play on that contract that he has right now, coming up in 2019. All right, yeah, let's do it. It's list season. I think it's list season. Time for another list.
It's list season.
All right, Randy, we got another list today. One is the NFL's best triplets.
Okay.
Quarterback, running back, wide receiver.
Right.
That's what they mean by triplet.
All right.
Falcons come in at number 6.
Behind who?
Behind the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hold on. We're talking about three of them, right?
That's right. You got to have three of them.
Who the hell does Kansas City have? I mean, they got that dude.
Well, yeah, they got Patrick Mahomes, who's the MVP.
Okay, and then who else? They put Tyreek Hill?
They put Travis Kelce as the pass catcher, so I guess they got a little gray area there because he's a tight end, but he does catch a lot of passes.
Yeah, he's
very good at it.
He might be the best
in
the league.
And the running back they've got listed is a person named Damian Williams.
Yeah, I was just looking at Big Red on TV. He said he's a starting running back. He's a really good player.
Okay.
He's a good player.
Proven?
He did some things last year for him, man.
Yeah.
He can play. He can play.
All right. I mean, obviously they have issues those guys.
Yeah, he can play.
The guy who was their running back, who was really, really good, is no longer there anymore for obvious reasons. That's who they have at number 5.
Okay.
Number 4, they got the Green Bay Packers.
Who they got?
Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and Aaron Jones.
Man, you don't miss me with that.
I agree.
The Aaron Jones thing. Devontae Adams?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, 12. Come on, man.
Yeah, pretty good.
Okay.
Number 3, they've got the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns, the third best triplets in the NFL.
Off of 16 games, huh?
Well, not even, because
six games? I mean,
Baker didn't play all 16 games last year.
All right, so they got
Nick Chubb was not their starting running back for all 16 games last year. No, Nick's really good.
He took Atlanta's soul.
He did. He stole Atlanta's soul right in the middle of that game. That was when the season ended for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
Nick Chubb went 92 yards
to the
house.
And then
Odell is their pass catcher.
Okay. All right. What's the next one?
That's number 3. Number 2, and this is what we were just talking about, is the Los Angeles Chargers. Phillip, Keenan Allen, and Melvin Gordon, who may or may not even be there when the season starts.
Okay. That's all right.
You feel good about that?
I do.
All right. You want to guess who number 1 might be?
Oh, the Saints.
It's the Saints.
Yeah. Well, I think the only reason the Falcons are where they are is because of Devontae Freeman.
Who we're going to talk about in the 12 o'clock hour.
That's the only reason.
Devontae Freeman
that they're behind the Browns.
Is Falcons preseason storyline number 7.
Yeah.
We'll get into that at 12:20 today. But if Devontae Freeman was coming off of his 2015 season,
they'd be
number 1.
They're probably number 1.
They'd be number 1.
Yeah. Because of all those receivers that you named, Julio's better than all of them.
Yep.
All the quarterbacks, Matt Ryan he's better than Baker. I think he's better than Drew Brees. So Matt Ryan would be with 3 on that list.
They've got him ranked 7th.
Okay.
But whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. That's just another list that they have. But I mean, look, I know that Philip Rivers, that's, you know, but I'll take Matt over Phillip. But I know. I know.
Yeah.
I know why.
Phillip, my guy.
Yeah, I know. He's your guy. Yeah. I know he's your guy. But, yeah, they got the Saints number 1, obviously. Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, and Michael Thomas. Yeah. That's their triplets.
I'm going to be interested to see Alvin Kamara this year without Ingram.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, I know they went out and got what's the guy from – he was in Minnesota last year. Thank you. Latavius Murray. Thank you.
Bro. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they went and got him.
Latavius, he's a big dude.
Yeah, they went and got him. But I'm curious to see, you know, if he can be that single running back, because they use him so much in so many different ways. How long will he hold up? Because I think Alvin Kamara is special.
Oh, he's very good.
I think he's special.
Yeah, he is.
And he was special at Tennessee. I was surprised he dropped like he did.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch any of the ESPYs last night? Speaking of the Saints?
Did not.
Drew Brees got an award for something, record-breaking performance or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
He broke the record for longest speech.
Oh, he was up there a long time?
I thought that they were going to have to extend the broadcast for 45 minutes.
It was that long?
It was really, really long.
What were we talking about?
Just thanking people and giving inspirational quotes. Just being
Drew Brees.
Generally Drew Brees.
Right.
Yeah, he was just up there for a really long time. A couple other stories here to get to in the NFL No Huddle. Chip Carey going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. Richard Seymour is in the World Series of Poker.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about a nice post-NFL career. Some people go to broadcasting and become amazing midday radio hosts at 92.9 The Game in Atlanta.
Yeah, Big Mo.
People make a lot of money playing poker.
Big Mo, that's his thing, man. And he used to have a little card game up at his house every now and then. But, last time I talked to Seymour, it was right before the voting for the Hall of Fame, and me and him got a chance to sit down and chat. And like I was like, dude, you were like really, really serious about it. He was like, yeah, man, this is like his exact quote. This is my second career. I was like, oh, okay. But, I mean, he's real good at it too.
Yeah.
But he lost last night though.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I didn't see that he lost last night. He still walks away with a lot of money.
Yeah.
And if you're that good at poker, you're going to continue to be able to make a lot of money. That's the nice thing about it. Unlike an NFL career, you know, going to last probably longer than 10 years.
You can play poker all day.
You played poker with him?
Huh?
Have you ever played poker?
I don't play
with him?
Poker.
Oh, you don't play poker?
No, I've watched them play.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. There's some roses in there. I don't like poker. I'm not a big poker player.
Yeah. It went through that super big poker boom in like 2000, what? Probably like 2005.
Uh-huh.
Everybody was playing Texas Hold'em and everyone was really, really into poker. And I played a little bit. I mean, it's fun. I just don't like losing money.
I like playing craps.
Yeah.
And then if I'm down, I go play some blackjack.
Yeah, I like blackjack, craps, poker. It's all fine. I just don't like losing money. If I lose money, then I get mad. I guess if I was better at it, I wouldn't lose any money. Hugh Jackson wants another job, by the way. Good for Hugh.
Good for Hugh. Shouldn't have damn hired, what's the name? Told him. Hugh.
Shouldn't, yeah.
Oh. You hired him.
Shouldn't
that's
have gone
job.
On. Hard knocks. If he wouldn't have gone, and I think that's going to make it hard for him to get another job. Like, just watch the video from Hard Knocks. It's not great. Hey, 92.9 The Game, you can join us this Friday at Twin Peaks and Buckhead as the Midday Show. That's me and Randy. We'll broadcast from 10 to 2. Dukes and Bell as well from 2 to 7. Twin Peaks and Buckhead, Friday. That's tomorrow. Craveable man food, delicious burgers, wings, sandwiches. Twin Peaks girls serving the coldest beer.
Yep.
Probably some nice ice cold Amstel lights up there.
There we go. Eric, no.
Excuse me?
Eric, no?
I don't know. Somebody tell Eric.
All right.
He's probably out there racing somebody. Chip Carey going to join us next. Talk some Braves. Look ahead to the second half of the season right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get into the Wendy Zone, Wendy Adams in studio, and back into the most important audio in the world right at the top of the noon hour. But happy to welcome to the show here Chip Carey from Fox Sports South, Braves play-by-play man. And
The greatest voice in baseball.
The greatest voice in baseball. Yes. Chip, how are you?
Boy, if you guys want to be an agent, I could certainly use one. Thank you very much for that kind introduction. Good to talk to you guys.
Good to talk to you too, Chip. How does the play-by-play man spend an All-Star break? I know it's only a couple days off, but how do you relax for a few days?
I live in Florida, so I drove home right after the game Sunday, spent some time with my wife and three of my four kids. My other oldest daughter lives in San Diego, so I'll see her later on tonight.
Nice.
But, you know, the hard part of our job is, we're gone for 6 months, and the rocks of our families are our wives and our kids.
Right.
You find out very, very quickly in this business how irrelevant you can become because they seem to find a way to get along without you. That's not to say they don't miss you. But really, I just try to go home and spend some quality time with them, get stuff done around the house that, you know, kind of slides by because they're just not capable or able to do it. I love being out in the yard, hanging out with the kids, swimming in the pool. I went out to dinner once, and as we all say, there's nothing better than the All-Star break, but they're all too short. And having said that, we're ready to get back to work. It was great to see everybody, but we're now in the home stretch, 70-something games to go, and we'll look forward to reconvening when the season ends, whenever that is.
Well, that's always great right there to get time with family. And like you said, it's back to business right now. And DK, Dallas Keuchel's about to make his second start in a row. Mm-hmm. And what are your expectations? Because right now we know that he says he's not a five and die. He has to get hit seven. But right now he's the best pitcher right now for the Braves outside of Mike Soroka.
He's really been terrific. He's a great guy in the clubhouse. Pro's pro. He's been there. He's done that before. Brian McCann used the term warrior when he talked about the Braves acquiring Dallas because they knew each other, obviously, from Houston. I think what's so fun to watch about Dallas, in my humble opinion, is in a game that is now dominated by velocity and power with sometimes very little command. This is a guy that is like the Ginsu knife of Major League pitchers. I mean, he just carves people up. With movement, with location, uses all four quadrants of the strike zone, changes speeds, really keeps hitters off balance, and when contact is made, it's not really very hard contact. He knows what he's doing out there. I mean, it reminds me of watching Tom Glavine pitch, and Dallas Keuchel's not a Hall of Famer yet. He may be someday, But watching guys pitch instead of just heaving back and throwing is so refreshing in today's game, and it's great to have him on our team. And you're right, he's making back-to-back starts. Look, he's got to make up for lost time, and the way the schedule has worked out, that gives the Braves an extra start for Dallas with the last one before the All-Star break and the first one coming out of the break. And a guy of his caliber and his know-how and the reason they got him, you want him out there as often and as long as you can, and you're right, he's not a five-and-dive guy. He wants to go seven or eight every time out, and again, that's a throwback style of pitching that we don't see too often. He knows how to navigate his way through a lineup three times, sometimes four times. So hoping for more of the same tomorrow night against Padres team that's fighting for a wild card spot. And pitching at a big ballpark in San Diego, I think, would make Dallas feel even more comfortable. So we'll see how it all shakes out.
Chip Carey joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on the WadeFord.com hotline. Now, obviously, we're all excited to see what Keuchel can do, and he's been really good the last couple times out. I know that Brian McCann is going to be the catcher when he's pitching. They've got that relationship, and McCann's got the veteran savvy as well. We talk about all the young guys and all the stars and the guys who went to the All-Star game. I have to feel like the addition of Brian McCann, Chip, and tell me if you feel this way or not, has done something for that locker room that good teams just seem to have. Brian McCann seems to have brought something, and maybe you could describe what that something is, to that locker room, to that clubhouse this year that maybe they hadn't had the last couple of years.
He's got a ring. Look, guys respond to guys that have been there and done that before. And that's taking nothing away from Tyler Flowers or Nick Markakis or any of the other veterans that have been in that room. But those guys don't have a World Series ring. And when Brian McCann comes back to Atlanta, where his career began, and put up incredible all-star numbers and handled the Glavins, the Smoltzes, the Hudsons, in the Braves starting rotation, that carries a cachet to it, too. And I think the other thing that's a little different that he's brought is, look, Brian's been around the block before. He's been in New York. He's played under the big spotlight with the big expectations. He's been in Atlanta where he got his career started and became a star. Then he went to Houston where the analytical side of the game really has gone, I don't want to say in a bad way, but has really gone crazy. And he's learned from that. He's adapted and he's developed that. He's brought some of that analytical thinking to the way the Braves approach their game plans. And that kind of stuff, I think, is hugely important, especially for a staff as young as the Braves. So, look, he brings cachet, he brings experience, he brings all-star experience, he brings Brave pedigree. He's a great guy. He wanted to come back here, and he's fit in, as we all expected him to, absolutely perfectly. And who knows, maybe he'll continue to play here next year or beyond, but there's no doubting that he's made a huge contribution in that locker room and on the field, quite frankly.
Hey, Chip, two of the young arms, Mike Soroka and then Max Fried, they're getting to uncharted territory as far as innings, pitch, and all these things. Do you look for, like, the Braves and maybe, not, I don't want to say shut them down, but put them on maybe a lower pitch count going forward?
I think we've seen some of that. If the Braves are fortunate enough to have big leads in games, we've seen Brian Snitker take Mike Soroka out in close games and in big games after about six innings. I think he'd like to do the same with Max Fried. I think it's really not so much the number of innings, but the stress of those innings that the Braves have to monitor. And fortunately, the Braves feel they have enough pitching depth to be able to add a guy to rotation and go ostensibly to a six-man rotation, which, I for one wouldn't mind seeing them do, period, and go all the time and keep everybody fresher. But I think they're going to be conscious of it. They're not going to use and abuse these guys, and I think that's what's going to make the trading deadline so intriguing for this ball club. As good as Mike Soroka and Max Fried have been, and we all expect them to continue to pitch great, they haven't been through August and September before. They haven't done that. They haven't made their 27th start. And so you don't really know how that's going to go. And then you think about potential playoff appearances. So I think the Braves have been very open about they need more pitching. Preferably, I think they'd like to get veteran starting pitching, guys that have been there before, that have done it, that know what this grind is all about. And that's part of the learning curve for them. Not just learning how to get opposing hitters out, but how to manage the body, how to manage the stress, and manage the expectations of going out there every fifth day. And until you've done it, you don't really know what you're in for. So there is a certain bit of unknown, but Alex Anthopoulos has gone on record as saying he doesn't believe in shutting guys down. He doesn't believe in strict pitch limits or innings limits. There's really no data that he says that has convinced him either way. So I don't envision a Steven Strasburg-like shutdown for either of these two guys, but clearly the Braves are going to monitor their workloads and do what's best for them now, best for the team now, and more importantly for them and the organization in the future. And I think Brian Snitker is doing a great job of that.
Chip Carey joining us here from Fox Sports South as we look ahead to the second half of the Braves season, a very successful first half of the season, of course. What would you say, Chip, is Brian Snitker's best attribute as a manager? What is it that just sort of separates him from other guys in Major League Baseball?
Well, I mean, I can't speak to all the other managers because I don't work with all of them. The ones that I really admire and like Joe Madden, Lou Piniella, guys like that, you know, those guys are very honest, very open, very communicative. In the case of Brian Snitker, I think he's been extremely open to and willingness to adapt. You know, in this game, if you don't adapt, you die. And I think Brian has adapted and embraced the analytical side of things that are being brought to him by the new front office. And I think they, in turn, respect that in many ways he's an old-school manager who manages people and manages those relationships very well. Look, at the end of the day, you know, managing a baseball team is kind of like coaching an NBA team, is what Chuck Daly used to say. The key of being a great coach in the NBA, Chuck Daly told me once, was keeping the five guys who don't play away from the seven guys who do. Because, you know, everybody wants to play. I mean, everybody wants to get out there and show what they can do. And it's getting everybody to buy into the concept of the sum of the team is greater than the individual parts. And I think Brian has been very clear with what Charlie Culberson and Johan Camargo and Matt Joyce's role is, and telling guys when they're going to have days off and get time off. And his communication skills with us in the media are tremendous. You know, he gets that from Bobby Cox. I mean, Bobby considered us in the media who travel with the team a very small but essential part of the club, and he keeps us in the loop with what he's thinking and what he's thinking about during a series or a road trip. So it's a long-winded answer, but I think just his ability to adapt and evolve and manage today's young players and to not be a rote, by-the-book manager, but to embrace the analytics and put his team in the best position to win on a daily basis and survive 42, 43 years in an organization is really saying something.
Yeah, it does. Last one for me, Chip. And me and Andy, we were kicking this around earlier about, you know, we were talking about the making some moves for a veteran pitcher, like you said. But we were assuming this. Is Folty the X factor if they decide to make a move or not?
Could be. Look, Mike is an all-star. I mean, the guy has tremendous stuff. He knows how to win. He just has not had a good year. The bone spurs in the elbow obviously were a problem for him, and I think he's got to work his way through that. And I think the Braves have the luxury with the lead that they have in the division of letting him work things out, get on a great roll at Gwinnett, and when he's ready to come up, hopefully he comes up and stays. But the way things were going for Mike, clearly they weren't working for him or the ball club. And until he gets himself in a great frame of mind, until he gets himself in a place where he can repeat his mechanics and have that slider working the way we all know it can, the best place for him to do that is out of the spotlight of a pennant race and down at AAA. But I think we're all hopeful that Mike's going to figure it out, turn the corner, and grow into and continue to be the kind of pitcher that we all think he can be. But right now it's best for him, in my opinion, best for the team to have him doing that at Gwinnett. And hopefully when he comes up, yeah, he can be a huge difference maker in this rotation or the bullpen.
Hey, Chip, we were having this debate the other day about best moment from the first half, and there's so many to choose from, obviously, as good as the Braves have been. You've called all of them. what was your single, if you can pick one, favorite moment from the first half of the Braves season?
Well, I'm 54 years old, so you'll have to pardon, you know, the short memory that us old people have. How about the way the game in Miami or game against Miami finished right before the half?
That was mine.
That was ours.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of encapsulates everything about this team. You know, they played great. They had a big lead. The Marlins came storming back. Luke Jackson, who has done an excellent job as the closer, but look, let's be honest, you know, they're not always clean saves. you see the defensive change by Brian Snitker to get Charlie Culberson into the game an inning before. Sure enough, bases are loaded, line drive to left. Culberson makes the catch. Charlie clutch, throws to the plate, perfect tag, double play, walk, and then a fly out later, the team wins the game. And so it just sort of encapsulates to me that this is a 25-man roster. It's a 25-man team. Yes, it's built around Freddie Freeman and Acuna and Dansby Swanson and the others, but this group collectively doesn't always win, but they always give you a finish. And they are really a blue-collar, embraceable, likable bunch that plays the game the right way. And they really care about each other. They really pull for each other. And there is an energy around this team that's a little different than last year. And in a way, I think it's better because this group knows they're good, and they know they're going to get better. And when you have guys like Culberson and Joyce coming off the bench doing the things that they're doing to supplement what's already happening in the starting lineup and this pitching staff, it makes you feel awfully good and awfully proud to be a Braves fan. And they believe, and I do too, that the best times are yet to come this season and beyond. And we'll see what happens starting tomorrow night.
He's the best in the business.
Best in the business, baby.
We appreciate it, Chip.
Thank you so much, Chip.
Y'all are very kind. I appreciate it. We'll see you on TV tomorrow night.
Take care.
Chip Carey there from Fox Sports South. He will be there in San Diego tomorrow as the Braves resume the second half of the season. A lot of good stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. He's the best. He's the best.
I want to react to one thing specifically that he said at the end that I think you'll be able to illuminate as a former professional athlete as well. The value of knowing that you're good. I want to get back to that a little bit later. Because you don't talk about that much. Yeah, they're good. They've won a lot of games. But they know they're good right now. There's a difference between just being good and knowing you're good. We'll get back to that a little bit later. The Wendy Zone coming up next. Thanks again to Chip Carey for being with us. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you. Coming up in 20 minutes, the most important audio in the entire universe, including, are we going to do this, Bagel Guy. We got to get the Bagel. Oh, nope, never mind. We're going to do that right now.
Oh, we're about to get
the
Bagel
Wendy's
Guy.
Zone.
Oh,
good.
Yes.
I don't even want to wait for Bagel Guy, so I'm glad we're going to do that right now.
Okay,
yeah, Bagel because Guy. I came in and you guys were talking about Bagel Guy, and I was like, who's Bagel Guy? And you're like, just put Bagel Boss
into your
Twitter search engine, so... I swiftly put Bagel Boss into my search engine. Now, before I play what came up on that search, it's in a Long Island bagel shop. So a customer was caught on camera sort of lashing out at the women who are working in the bagel shop because he had been rejected, I guess, on dating sites because of his height. This guy's shorter in stature.
He was having a tough day.
Having a very tough day. So this is apparently what happened. And the manager and what started the outburst. So the manager said a female worker was serving him when she looked up and smiled at him, which is polite, right? It's normal.
Pretty normal behavior.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And said he just went completely nuts. No one really understood why. Now, this audio is from a patron who was videoing the entire thing, and this is what happened.
Why is it okay for women to say, oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead. That's okay?
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Women in general have said it on dating sites. You think I'm making that up? Everywhere I go, I get the same smirk with the biting lip.
The biting lip.
Shut your mouth. You're not God or my father or my boss.
Oh, my boss.
Dude, you want to step outside? You want to step outside? I'm not standing, pal.
Enough.
You shut up, dude.
Just like
go ahead and attack me, big.
Oh. Oh, my God. I just angles. I recorded the whole thing. By the way, at the end of the video, he goes, you're going to attack me? And then this dude is clearly like 6-something.
He attacked him.
Yeah, he attacked
him. Dude, I'm just going to tell you.
And there's a follow-up video, by the way.
He shouldn't have put his hands on Lil Man.
No, he shouldn't.
All right, he shouldn't have put his hands on Lil Man.
Oh, don't call him Lil Man.
I'm sorry. That is kind of rude. I'm sorry. The guy. The bagel guy. But, dog, that is so funny, man. Because I'm like, you that mad? She smiled. Hey, how are you doing? Can I help you? And then what the hell is biting the lip smile? What face is that?
See, I thought like if a woman looks at you and she bites her lip,
I thought that's always been a good thing in my eyes. Like, hey, but he thinking it's a bad thing.
Yeah, well, he's confused. Like he walked into that situation with a lot of baggage from before.
Because like I said, he must have been like when he was at the going to the bagel shop, must have been on his phone and getting rejected and just boiled over.
Yeah.
But,
thank goodness now you don't have to ask on some of these certain dating sites. I mean, I've only used Bumble a time or two, and now they have a feature where you can only search guys of a certain height to a certain height.
But
so you can avoid
wrong with that.
So you can avoid asking the question and making it uncomfortable.
I mean, people have specific preferences that they like physically and personality-wise. There's nothing wrong with that.
Don't be mad at them because you're short, though. You know what I'm saying?
It's not their fault.
It's not their fault that you're little.
You just...
it's not.
No, you're right. It's not their fault. It's his parents' fault, probably.
Yeah. I mean, that's
or maybe he drank
genetics.
Too much coffee
that's
when he was
genetics,
a kid. I don't
man.
Know. What the heck? That was the rumor when you were a kid. If you drank caffeine too early, it would stunt your growth.
Yeah, but yeah, no, he's... I mean...
Coffee.
Yeah. But again, the dude didn't have no business putting his hands on him. But he went up to the other dude first, though. He
puffed out his chest.
He puffed out his chest and hit the dude in the stomach.
Can you imagine having a... he was like a baseball fight. He was tummy bumping over there.
Tummy bumping.
Can you imagine having a day that bad, though? Where, something happened in the morning.
Yes.
Whatever it was. Like, he got rejected online by a woman in the morning.
Right.
He figured, you know what? I'll go get a bagel, try to calm down a little bit here, try to take my mind off the rejection. And then he couldn't take his mind off the rejection because every woman he saw just rekindled that anger.
Yes.
And then he freaks out like that. Obviously, it's going to be on video because everything's on video now. And then he has the audacity to challenge somebody much bigger than him to a fight. And he accepted the challenge and hemmed him up on the ground in the bagel shop. And it's all on video. Like, that's such a bad day.
That's a
rough hope
day.
I never have a day
the girl,
like that.
The girl said, I just wanted a bagel.
The follow-up video has way more cursing in it. So I couldn't actually even clip it because it would just be a boop, 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 boop.
What did he say? You're takes not his God sandwich or my dad.
And slams his bagel on the ground. I'm not eating your bleeping breakfast. And like walks, but then he walks back and picks up the sandwich because he's like, I'm fine, I'll eat it.
Yeah, I'm probably hungry after all that crying.
Bless his heart. I bet it is tough for a shorter guy to date.
Poor little fella.
Poor little guy.
I'm
poor
imagining.
Guy.
It's really tough for him to date.
Yeah, like rub his head. Go pat. Go give me a head pat.
Don't do that.
Oh, don't. Right. Don't do that.
Probably the last thing
he wants.
I feel
like Randy would have instigated it even more.
I would have. I would.
You don't. He doesn't need big, tall Randy. But standing
Randy would have been laughing.
I'd have been hollering, laughing.
Of course you would have been.
You know, I'd have been laughing.
It was hilarious.
And then I would have went over there. It's okay, fella. Gave me a little head pat.
If he bumped you, though?
Oh, I would knock through that. I'm taking that as a threat.
You think he ordered a mini bagel?
Come on, man.
Oh, that's
come on,
right.
man. But yeah, if he would have tried to bump into me,
or a bagel
I'm taking
bite.
That as a threat. That's funny, though. But yeah, he had a rough day.
So if you haven't seen it, rough just day. Put bagel, bagel bite, bagel boss
bagel
into
boss.
Your search engine today.
Tough day
welcome.
For a little bagel guy.
Yeah, he's
little
having,
bagel boss.
He's
poor
a rough
little guy.
Day.
Poor little guy.
All right, I saw this story last night on the news, and it's local, so it's down in Macon, Georgia, about an hour and a half from here. So there was a miscommunication that resulted in a very unusual birthday cake. So Kensley Davis is a huge fan of Disney's animated movie, Moana.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you
great
guys
movie.
Are familiar.
Love it.
Yeah. One of the greatest Disney movies of all time. So she was having a Moana sort of themed birthday party, which I'm a fan of themes. So when she picked up her cake, it was very interesting. Now I'm just going to play the clip from the news story, and it's the woman who ordered the cake and picking it up telling the story.
Okay.
I think they thought that she said marijuana because we're from South Georgia. We kind of have an accent, so Moana, marijuana. I guess Moana. When they said that I love cartoons, they were like, let's just throw a little pony on there. So they put the little pony on there, and it had red eyes smoking a joint with a tramp stamp of a pot leaf on its bottom. I was very shocked. I was like, it was hilarious to me. I was very impressed by the artistic capabilities of them to be able to do the design that they did.
So they just misunderstood Moana for
it,
marijuana.
I said marijuana.
And so there's a leaf. There's like a My Little Pony on it. It's a green My Little Pony. It says Happy 25th Birthday, Kinsley. And it has the little the tattoo on the head of the horse. And
the horse is
eyes.
High. The little pony's high.
That's unbelievable.
Got the weed leaf on there.
That's unreal.
She
still ate the cake.
I love her.
I would eat the cake.
I love that South Georgia accent,
It's so great,
it's such a good accent.
Yeah, I guess they thought I was saying.
Well, we are from South Georgia.
Hold on. The girl's 25?
25?
Yeah, don't diss a themed birthday party.
Hang on.
Hold on. I got to bring her. She's 25 and she's having a Disney
Moana
birthday party?
It should be a marijuana themed birthday party.
What's the matter with that?
You too damn grown for that?
Kind of grown.
Are you kidding me?
You're a little too damn grown for that.
Well, it's like a Disney princess birthday party,
right?
Yeah. Now, you are talking to somebody who just had a unicorn-themed birthday party.
Okay, I get all that.
With a unicorn cake.
With a unicorn cake.
Okay.
Yeah, we saw your cake.
We saw your cake. Okay, got it. Okay, unicorns.
We're on Team Wendy here.
Unicorns are not like kitty. I mean,
not?
Grown-ups can have a unicorn.
Yeah, tell me more, Randy.
But you can't.
about these themed birthday parties.
Moana? For a 25-year-old?
I was going to have a Disney princess-themed party before I decided on unicorn.
Oh, then we would have clowned you.
Come on. No, everyone was going to have like a bathing suit because they make like princess, like, it was going to be great. It's going to be the next birthday. Now I'm having a Disney themed birthday
party
where y'all are going to have to dress up as princes and come to the party.
Oh.
Okay.
No. I'm going to like regular Randy.
I want to be Aladdin.
See? How fun is this? Andy's already thinking about a
Disney. You said Disney?
Yeah, Aladdin's like the coolest one.
Ain't no brothers in Disney.
Well, I mean, I'm not whatever Aladdin is either.
You're closer to it,
whatever
though.
Whatever ethnicity Aladdin is, I'm not that. I'm going to dress up as him.
Ain't no bras in Disney?
Right. There's not?
Is it?
There was finally, they had a black princess.
I said bruh, man.
I know,
but like her.
I haven't seen the movie. Oh. I don't know. I thought maybe there was a black prince, too. I'm not sure. You could just dress up as Prince, the musician.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know, man. Nah. I'm just trying to help.
I'm a very big supporter of themed birthday parties.
I think we offended Wendy about the Moana thing.
I can tell when I look at her face. When she makes that face over here, I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, that's not a joke.
It's fine.
It's real.
Uh-oh.
I'm a fan of a theme.
All right, we'll come back, get to the most important audio in the world. Wendy is going to come back in here in an hour. We'll check in and see how she's doing then. Right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.